With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, beautiful people. Thank you for listening to Ready Player 2. We are now on episode 95 and we have one less host than normal. I'm hoping that he's going to be better by the time we do episode 100, which should be fine because that is going to be at some point middle of next year. So, Lewis is not able to join us today because he's not feeling very well. But that's kind of okay because we got surplus podcast hosts. We've broken glass and in case of emergency, we pulled out Lee. We tried to put him back, but he wouldn't fit. So, this week, we have Lee.
Hello.
We have Elle.
All right.
We have producer Ross.
How do?
And we have me. Sorry about that. I haven't missed one of these in quite a long time, which I'm thinking I might need a holiday at some point, because I like listening to other people host.
We do one a month at this point, and you need a break from us already.
Yeah.
We're that draining.
Good grief. Once a month's a lot of work.
There's only so much, really, isn't there?
Yeah, we're back. True. Have we all played games?
We have. Yes. Some of us have bought new consoles.
What? Ooh. What?
Some of us bought old consoles.
Very old consoles.
Some of us bought nothing at all. Absolutely nothing. I bought new games, actually. I did buy new games. Right, I've been reliably informed that the order of play this week is going to be that every single one of us are going to be able to talk about one game and one game only. So I'm going to go first. That way, by the end of the podcast, you will have forgotten that I had a turn, and I'll be able to talk about the other games that I want to talk about. Is that all right?
I like your style.
Okay, brilliant. Okay, this is good. This is going to be actually a really quick one, and I want to bring this up because... Now, right, okay. This is a cheat, because I haven't played this game all the way through. Actually, in that case, all three of the games that I've played are cheats, because I haven't finished any of them yet. Somebody brought this game to my attention on Twitter, and I thought, oh, I'm going to have a look at that and give it a go. This game is called The Signifier. I don't know if you guys have heard about this. This might be an L game. This might be
just
an
from L the
game.
Title alone, I feel like it is an L game. Yeah.
Okay, so this is called The Signifier. Okay, so basically, somebody highlighted this on Twitter. I think it was Hippie Adam, and one of the guys that is the developer of this game essentially said, "Look, please buy our game. The Director's Cut Edition is out now. We've made big changes, and we've had a big problem with piracy. We've released the game DRM free.
Oh no.
And we've had a great big problem with piracy to the point where, by the sounds of things, they're going to be going bankrupt in not very long."
Oh, fucking hell.
And I thought, I'm going to have to get it then, right? Because you've guilted me into it now. So.
Had you already been playing it by this point?
No. No, I'd never even heard of it. Never even heard of it. Promised I hadn't pirated it. So, they've got a free demo. So, just to make things even easier, they've got a free demo. Now, one thing I will say, because this guy on Twitter seems lovely and nice, and the game is actually quite beautiful, I'm going to get this out of the way now. There's some clunky as shit stuff in there.
No,
okay? So there is some clunkiness with the way that the camera is taken control of for you. There is some clunkiness in the way that you interact with objects. And if you're like me, and one of the first things that you try and do is listen to or watch all the audio or video logs that are available to you in the game.
Nope.
Allow the not great writing to just get past that.
You're already triggering me.
And you know what? If the guy who made this game is going to be like, I wish I'd never fucking recommended this to this guy. But right, this is all setting the game up, and there's some stuff in there that I've got to be perfectly honest. I wouldn't. If I'd have just played that part and not got into the next bit, I would have stopped playing the game. However, here we go. The next bit is you've got to try and solve a crime by searching through the memories of the person who died.
Okay.
Sick.
Okay.
I'm on board. Yeah.
But the memories are broken and fractured and fragmented and have to be constantly pieced together by this AI. And so you jump into the memories and they are kind of beautifully warped and twisted and have got this kind of 3D fragmentation going on in them. And as you move around the world, you can shift. So anytime if you're playing on keyboard and mouse, you push and hold Q and it shifts you between the objective memory and the subjective memory, right? And you shift between the two, and you, so the subjective memory has got stuff going on because it's all about the emotions of the person that was experiencing them that aren't reflected in the objective memory, because that's all about the actual objects that were in the room and the physical parameters of it and all the rest of it. So in the subjective memory, everything's a bit weird. And things aren't like normal, and it's a little bit, well, it's really scary, to be perfectly honest. And what you've got to do is you've got to take objects from the subjective memory and kind of plug them into the objective memory in order to for the AI to piece together these things that are going on. Anyway, get to that part of the game. That's the bit I will say. If you decide to give this a go, there is a free demo. Go ahead and download it. Forget about the other bits. Yeah, it looks very nice and it's very nice and all the rest of it. But like I say, there's this clunkiness that you've just got to ignore. Get to this part of the game. And it is, I've not experienced anything quite like it before. Mm. And it's quite nice. Okay. It's not breaking any massive barriers or anything. Let's face it. It's not a game mechanic that is groundbreaking in its way, in the way that it does things. It's just implemented exquisitely. Ooh. I think I would say it's okay. Just very nicely put together. It is only £11 right now because it's 30% off. Fun. There's around about 4 or 5 hours worth of gameplay, which they're really open about right up front. And like I say, there's a demo. So go ahead and download it. Just give it a shot.
Many questions. Is this on Steam?
This is on Steam.
Yeah. Oh, I can get it on your family share.
Hey, the game broke, you monster. Come on.
They've had a problem with piracy. I just said
it. Okay. I'm joking. No, I probably just won't play it. No. No, let's rewind. At the beginning, you said there was some clunkiness with it doing some stuff with the camera. Now, immediately,
you're worried about
that.
Okay, so there's a thing where, you know how in certain games you go to, like, go up to a chair and push E to sit down?
Yeah.
And obviously it takes control of your character and your character sits down. In this particular instance, it's everything. So it's when you walk up to a computer, it takes control of your character and kind of focus you in on the computer screen. But it does it very slowly.
It's
okay because it's not going to trigger like any weird motion sickness or anything, I don't think.
Okay.
But it just does it very slowly. And then when you finish listening to the audio recording you were listening to on this computer, it kind of does a very slowly slight zoom out, and then you pick a next audio recording and then it does another slowly slight zoom in. And I'm just like, this is kind of frustrating, right? I wish I could just click on this. Mm. And it's not breaking, right? It's just clunky. It's just not as nice as I would have liked it to be. And it put me off. The reason I mention it is because it did put me off. But the other reason I mention it is because I'm glad I didn't let it stop me from getting to what is in essence the main event of the game.
So how is this like a first-person game or a third-person?
Yeah, it's first-person.
Yeah.
It's first-person.
It's only £10 on Steam at the minute, £10.84.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not bad. It's worth a punt at that price.
Don't expect great things. Yeah, and if you don't love it, not my fucking fault. I didn't make it. I'm just telling you about it.
that falls within Elle's weird price bracket. It's under £15.
It's under £15.
Quid. Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah. I'll buy it.
Yeah. So it's just, yeah. And it's, I'll just give it a go. I'm not going to talk exhaustively about it because, like I say, I've not played that much of it. But what I have played after I got past the clunky bits, very, very good. Very interesting and surreal.
All right.
Cool.
So give it a go. Not a scary game. The bits that I played so far, anyway. Not scary, just very obscure.
It's a psychological thriller.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Oh, yeah, exactly that. Cool. Right, so that's the only game I'm going to talk about this week until in a minute when I'm going to talk about a different one. Okay, right. Ross sounded like he had exciting things that may have happened to him.
Yeah, I bought an Xbox Series X.
Okay, that's very exciting. Mm.
Finally. Yeah, so it's taken me 6 months to get one.
Everybody at the moment, though. Nobody can get anything right now.
Yeah, so I had a notification set up on my phone on Telegram, and I followed a link on that called Stock Informer. So whenever Amazon got stock, or when Currys or all those places got stock of Xbox Series X's and PS5s, I'd get a notification. I'd gone there. Normally I'd miss out literally within 2 minutes. They'd sell out whatever stock they had. But I was at work last week, and I managed to get one from Currys. Paid $4.75, I think, which is a lot, but you know,
that
it's
is
also
a lot of money. With games or just on its own?
With 3 months of Game Pass Ultimate and an extra controller, so I've got two controllers.
Extra controller's pretty good, because they're like 50 quid on their own, right?
Yeah. So
but that is... Is that the most expensive console?
Yeah, it's
of a launch generation? I might be wrong here, because...
I paid $3.99 for the Xbox One X, which was last year.
Yeah. Was that last year?
Stuff's expensive, man.
Yeah. But I've managed to sell that for 200 quid to my friend, so... Okay, it's not too bad overall, but yeah, I got it when I was at work, and I've rejoined my old job, for those that don't know, back at Wix. So I messaged my wife when I bought it and said, I've been bad, and she assumed I've been fired again. You know that instant response when you text your wife something and you get the instant reply, what? What have you done?
What have you done? Did you drop?
It was like, what? Just that. No punctuation, no full stops, nothing. What? It's like, oh, I've just bought an Xbox, don't worry.
In the grand scheme of everything that you've done in the last year and a half,
yeah,
that's probably one of the lighter blows that she could have had.
Yeah, exactly. Could have been worse. I'll pay for that. It's fine. But yeah, so it got delivered within a day, which I was pretty impressed with.
Oh, wow.
And it is very, very nice.
So it's this 2001 A Space Odyssey obelisk style, isn't it?
Thing like that, yeah. It's fucking massive. The fan on top is huge. Takes up the entire top of the system.
It could be laid down, presumably.
It can be put sideways, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like a console.
Yeah, but it's too big to go in our unit sideways. So it just stands next to the TV like a big fucking tower thing. And the family is so strong, we've got like birthday banners for Molly up above the TV still, and it just blows them around constantly when it's on and just wafts them around.
It's brilliant, because if the kids ever throw anything at it, Idris Elba will come out and defend it. So it's a win-win, really, isn't it? Thank you very much. I have been really confused about the form factors and the design of this generation's worth of consoles, because it doesn't make any fucking sense to me at all. It's like they're essentially going, do you know what? Fuck your home cinema system, or fuck your home entertainment system. We are a thing apart. We will not conform to whatever the fuck the design of your shelving units or TV stand are. You will put us on prominent display because you have no other choice. You can't stack things on top of us because one of us is too short and the other one's too fluidic.
Yeah.
And if you put us upright, there's no chance in hell that they're going to fit on any kind of shelf. So stick them in front of the TV, because the TV is already too big for the TV stand, because it's probably about 65 inches. Therefore, at least some of this console is going to obscure at least some of the TV. Fuck you. Thank you very much. Signed, Xbox and Sony.
Yeah, I've had to fuck my router off. That's now hidden behind the TV, and it's been replaced by the Xbox.
Like, I kind of get it, because they're basically PCs, right? They're going to be bigger than normal, and they don't want people putting shit on top of them, because they're going to block all the vents and stuff. So, all right, fine.
Yeah. It's very good. I mean, the GPU is 12 teraflops. I don't know what that means. Sounds impressive.
Nobody knows what that means. Nobody knows. Yeah, that's exactly. That's my reaction. I've worked in IT for... I think I've always worked in IT. I don't know what that many flops means.
I want to see what one flop looks like.
Yeah, exactly. I've
got
12 for them.
Such a bizarre term.
I know.
Oh, yeah, we're running off, 16 flops here.
Wait, they did a similar thing with megahertz. Do you remember when the megahertz of a processor actually meant something?
We were going,
it's 1.5 megahertz. That's banging. Oh, got to get me some of that.
This is
5 mega of RAM. You can't have 5 mega RAM. 4 mega RAM. 8 mega RAM. Brilliant. The numbers went up.
Got into the market. Because nerds, we gatekeeped. We used our own language. And we were like, oh, look at all these exciting things. And normal people are like, I have no fucking clue what you're on about. And Apple went, 1,000 songs in your pocket? Really, I'll have one of those, thank you.
We understand that. That's a quantifiable number. Thank you very much. Whereas the rest of us were fucking around with, was it Moore's Law?
Moore's Law.
Was it Moore's Law? Am I thinking the right fella? Some fella's law, which was basically saying it was doubling the processing power every 12 months or whatever it was. And then eventually we got to the point where we were like 3.6 megahertz, and some clever person went, oh, multiple cores. Hang on a minute. Hold the phone. Multiple cores.
Gigahertz.
And then all of it, yeah, gigahertz, whatever. And then all of a sudden, everybody went, that fucks the entire thing up. Mm. Hyperthreading? Now we don't know what's going on. So, so we've got the same. We've essentially had processors clocked at the same speed for the last 8 years. Mm. So they've got to come up with ways of telling you that they're better than the previous generation.
You've got more processors now.
Pipelines. That's the way to do it. Yeah. Pipelines. Tell them how many pipelines we've got. And I'm sat there going,
how many megapipes have you got?
What the fuck is this all about? I don't know. Now they're flopping. Who knows what a flop is?
Got me teraflops. Yeah. But yeah, it makes things look incredible. It's the most powerful computer I've ever owned. It's quiet as well. It's so quiet for the power it's got inside it. It doesn't make a sound. Even when a disc is in and it's running off a disc, it's still super quiet.
It's got a big old fan, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's huge. It takes up the entire top. And yeah, I'm very impressed with it. Some of the games I already had. I already had like Madden, which was Series X compatible, and The Avengers, which is the game I want to talk about. One of the games I want to talk about. Avengers Assemble.
Oh, you're only allowed one.
Well, yeah, I might sneak off on that later, just like you.
Everybody's breaking the rules.
So The Avengers Assemble, I had that installed on my Xbox One X, and it was 60 gig install. Still, that's quite big. But when I installed it onto the Series X, it said, oh yeah, there's a 100 gig update for this to make it Series X compatible. Yeah, 160 gig this is installed now.
All
and
textures.
Yeah, it looks incredible, but I don't play an Avengers game to play as a new character. I play an Avengers game to play as the Avengers, not this girl who's suddenly developed powers because of this big explosion, and she's got like stretchy arms. She's like Mr. Fantastic, is it, from the Fantastic Four? Yeah, she's the female version of this, and the voice acting is incredibly annoying.
In fairness,
bad game.
I'm gonna play devil's avocado here.
Yeah,
you might not want to play that character, but there are an awful lot of people out there who have been waiting a very long time to play that character or a character that looks like her. And I think it's really nice that they got something. I just think the timing is very off, or odd at least, because
the issue
off the back of the massive international superstardom of the Avengers films, let's bring out a game that not only doesn't tie in any way to the Avengers films, but features a main character that wasn't in any of them.
Yeah,
which
it's a
is what
story.
People didn't expect that. They didn't know what they were getting into.
No, one of the issues is the opening level is you take control of the four main Avengers and you play all their, you test all their powers out and you get to use them, and then suddenly you're just thrown into this other part of the story, and it's like, I don't want this. I want to be Cap. I want to be throwing that shield around. I want to be throwing.
I want to be playing the boys' version of this.
It's not that it's a girl. It's just she's so rubbish. Like stretchy arms. Who gives a fuck? He's the worst Fantastic Four character.
He is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Let me turn my flame on and fly around or be invisible or something. But no, stretchy arms and legs. Brilliant. But yeah, it's just not a very good game. It looks incredible, but it's not very fun to play.
That is one of my pet peeves in games, in fact. Not that you end up playing as a load of cool, awesome, muscle-bound men and then suddenly end up as a 15-year-old girl, although that has got to be up there. I don't like it when you start with all of your powers and have like loads of cool powers, and then you play the intro level, the practice area, with all of your powers,
the game.
And then you get shot by some kind of ray and end up in hospital, and you've got none of your powers anymore, and you've got to start your whole tech tree thing all over again. It is very frustrating.
Yeah, it is very, very annoying. The scores are like 60s, 60s out of 100s, 2.5 out of 5. It's all right if you want that kind of thing, but yeah, I wanted something else from this. I didn't get
it. Is the whole game as that character? I thought that you,
as much as I've played so far, it's like there's new Avengers characters, and there's loads of new Avengers. Like half of the population has become, rather than wiped out with a finger click, they've become superheroes now. And so obviously, some of them are bad, some of them are good. It's just not what I wanted from an Avengers game. But
yeah,
I don't know what I wanted, to be honest. But to play as the Avengers, to be honest.
You wanted a film of the, you wanted a game of the film, and I think they made the conscious decision to basically go, games of film suck, and people don't take them seriously.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, so, I mean, I've played the Captain America game, and
Lego games aren't games of films. Lego games are games.
Roughly, yeah.
But
They're franchise games.
Based on, so I think they've made the conscious decision to go, look, we're basing this on the subject matter that the films used, not making the, based on the films that were derived from subject matter. And I guess off the back of that, they wouldn't have had to pay for the voice actors that were in the films, probably saving themselves a whole packet of money as well. They didn't have to use their likenesses, which I would imagine also saved them a whole packet of money as well.
They didn't. They don't look like them, and they don't sound anything like them, and that takes me out of it massively. Mm. It's like, well, I'm assuming you've all seen Winter Soldier and the Falcon, or the Falcon and Winter Soldier. You got that Captain America.
Yeah, Captain America light. It's just the timing. I think that's the biggest problem. I think it came out at a moment right after Avengers Endgame where Avengers fever was at its peak. And that was obviously calculated because they wanted to try and capitalize on it. But it's just like, look at this amazing Marvel Avengers thing that you have absolutely loved and spent the last 10 years building up to. Here's a game that is kind of adjacent to it. That is loosely based on the characters, but with none of the backstory history or anything. Well, yeah, okay, I guess the backstory history. It's a different form of the universe. It's not even based in, because obviously Marvel have got, there's tons of different backstories, tons of different tons of different runs that have been done in the comics. And every story has been told 5-10 different ways. This is a different way of telling the story that was shown in the films. And people weren't ready for it. I watched the trailers and I wasn't ready for it. It wasn't something that I particularly fancied. I'm not fussed about playing as Kamala Khan. I think that's her name, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. I wasn't particularly fussed about playing as her, but that didn't put me off because I didn't think you played the entire game as her.
So I'm hoping that does come in later in the game, but yeah, it's just her powers are terrible. Like, I don't want to have big feet and big arms and stuff like that.
You kind of like that already.
Exactly. I've got my
real life. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Don't need a simulator. Oh, jeez. Okay. I've been holding off on this game. I've been waiting for it to become bargain bin price.
It's probably worth it for, like the cheap you can get it for, but at the minute it's still relatively well priced. I mean, it plays well and it looks great because it's by Square Enix and they make good games, but yeah, it's lacking something.
No, I ain't buying it.
I'm
out.
No, I will be, I was already on the fence. Not even on the fence. I was kind of peering at it.
Just peeking through the fence.
Peeking through the fence, ever so slightly, like a weird voyeur. And people on the other side looked like they were all trying to enjoy it because they paid to get in, but weren't really having that great a time.
Mm. Yeah.
So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to wait until they've all gone home and see who's left behind drunk.
Yep.
And then what were you going to do to them?
I played the game.
Oh, sorry, I was still thinking about the game.
I got a bit further into that metaphor than I wanted to. Yeah. Right. Okay, that's Ross's console and the crap game he played on it.
You said most expensive console. No, the Neo Geo, £600 at launch in that's 1990.
Insane. That is insane.
Really?
Yeah.
The inflation of that.
1990. That's the equivalent of, like, five people now in new money. You could buy whole people for that, surely. £600 back then with inflation has got to be well over £1,500 now, surely.
I'm having a look now.
All right, maybe
not inflation, but with compound interest, maybe. That's a story for another podcast.
I think I've explained multiple times before that I don't understand economics at all.
You're just like, I don't know money.
Yeah, there's a money thing. Stuff gets more valuable.
£600 now in £600 in 1990 is the equivalent in purchasing power to about £1,400 in 2021.
You know what? I don't know anything about economics. But it was only £100 off.
Pretty close. Fun.
You can buy six people for £1,000, Rich.
I don't know what the current market value is, do I?
Better than kids. Kids are cheap.
Maybe you can get some shelf-damaged ones. I don't know.
I don't know. I saw what those units were going for in Wayfair. We didn't buy that many people.
Just wait till after Ross has stuck them on the shelf with a forklift. They'll be at discount price.
Damaged goods.
Okay, right. So that's a very expensive but not quite too expensive console because the Neo Geo was more expensive. But now because Lee's piped up, you're going to have to talk about something.
Okay.
Lee bought a Neo Geo this week.
Yeah, I'd like one if someone's got one for sale. It's not one I ever had in my collection, but I've completed my collection now, by the way, of all the...
I saw you ticked off your list.
Everything's done, yeah, right from the the Binatone Master System, the Master TV Master Mark IV, all the way up to Commodore Amiga 1200.
Can we explain to everybody who's listening who might not have any idea what the fuck you're on about?
So I tweeted saying that I decided to reacquire, because all through the years, every games console and computer that I ever owned, I thought I was being really clever when they got to the end of their life and weren't worth very much money. I thought I was being really clever by making a little bit of money on them to put into the next thing. And it's something I've regretted since they've all gone up massively in price over the last year. So I've decided to reacquire everything that I ever owned in, you know, every games machine that I ever owned. Not everything.
Everything
ever
he's ever owned.
Not everything. I want it all back, and I want it back now.
For the Walker's
those
crisps.
Flares, those flares, that perm. Believe in them.
Don't talk about the perm. I kicked this off on Twitter, and I started with getting a Sinclair ZX Spectrum. In fact, I got two of those, and people on Twitter have been so kind. I was given a Commodore 64.
That was my first console.
Can we just go back to that? Sorry, sorry, Ross, I cut you off there. That was your first console.
Yeah.
Can we just go back to that a second? Can you say the thing that you said about Twitter? People on Twitter have been...
I honestly, the retro gaming community on Twitter is second to none. It's amazing.
See, this is not the experience that the majority of people have on Twitter.
I know. I'm as surprised as you are. But no, I've had so many amazing offers. I've been just blown away by how generous people have been. I've had to buy some of these things, and not everything's come from Twitter, but a good example is Commodore Amiga 500, the first Amiga that I owned, and a friend of mine, Lee Smith, Lee Legion Smith on Twitter, he offered to sell me one basically at cost of what it cost him. And he threw in a few things there, like a floppy drive emulator as well. And it's turned out fantastic, that particular computer. Anyway.
Floppy drive.
Floppy drive emulator.
About Amigas and Commodores and all kinds of, and you're laughing about a floppy drive.
No, sorry, just because when my wife was doing a dissertation, it was on floppies, and my PC had a floppy drive on the front, but no floppy drive inside. It just had the port for it, so she'd put a floppy drive on top of a computer. It just dropped it.
Clunk. That's where I keep my floppy disks.
Brilliant. They're like tokens. They're just feeding the computer.
Sorry, carry on.
I've basically completed my list now. But yeah, I've added to a couple of things. Oh, well, one thing, actually, the Mega Drive. I never owned a Mega Drive. I never owned a Mega Drive because they're terrible. It's an Amiga owner snobbery thing. Back then, it was, you know, if you had an Amiga, you didn't have a Mega Drive because, you know, Mega Drives were for kids. but now I've got one. It's kind of all right. I'm enjoying that a bit more. It helps that, you know, you've got one cartridge that plugs into the top that's got every game ever on it. That helps. I've recently acquired my second Sega Saturn. I saw one on Facebook Marketplace going cheap and went and picked it up. And the only game that I've got to test a Sega Saturn is Sega Rally. So I've been playing that again.
Oh, I love that game.
That game is so good. I honestly think it's one of the best racing games. I'm not going to say driving game, because you kind of don't drive, you kind of point it.
But
I understand. How do you drive?
I point it. I just said that.
Just described my school run.
I still think that's what... I mean, it's like a game with three tracks and one that you unlock and four cars, and that's it. And I mean, you can complete the whole thing in one sitting, you know, in half an hour if you just race through it.
Spent so much money on that in the arcades.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was the thing for me back then as well. One of my favourite games in the arcade was Sega Rally. I used to just beeline to that one if we went to the to Clacton, to the arcades near the pier. We would go straight to maybe Golden Axe first, but then we'd end up on Sega Rally, and that one ate a lot of my pocket money back then.
I think Sega Rally was the first arcade game that I ever experienced force feedback steering wheels.
Mm.
And maybe that was Daytona. A revelation. Yeah, I think I played Sega Rally first, but Daytona had it as well.
Mm.
But I remember, because I would have been young, right? This thing practically suplexed me when I tried to hold on to the steering wheel. So all of a sudden, I'm there going, the arcade machine's fighting back. This is right. What's going on?
Yeah, that was mind-blowing then. And then back then, I actually won my Sega Saturn on Games Master.
Wow.
I've probably mentioned this before, from a Dominic Diamond competition. And it got delivered to me with Sega Rally. I don't think I bought any other games for it. I just played that because I had a PlayStation at the time, so why would you? And I played Sega Rally to death because it's such a good conversion. When you first see it, it's quite pixelated and not the most amazing thing looking, you know, to look at compared to the arcade machine. But when you actually start driving and you feel... Yeah. That's what they got right. That's what Sega...
It plays so well.
Nailed. Yeah, it just plays brilliantly. So, yeah, I've been playing that to bits. I want to do what I did before and unlock the Stratos, I think it is. The hidden
part. Lancia Stratos, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a Banana Zumba joke coming in?
No, I was thinking about it. I don't want to interrupt you.
Yeah, that's... That's what I've been doing. Well, I've been doing many other things, but in terms of gameplay, because I've been building things and modding things, but in terms of actually playing things, that's about... Oh, I played some... Can I quickly slip in another fast one?
No. We'll come back to you in a minute. No. I want to leave that because I've been talking about this fantastic game that literally came out a few minutes ago. Ross has been talking about a console that nobody in the entire world can get a hold of because they're rare as rocking or shit and has literally just got hold of it. And you've been talking about a game that came out in 1994.
Did you rebuy an N-Gage, Lee, by the way? So I made sure to put that to your list.
My friend had an N-Gage and I mercilessly took the piss out of him for having a Cornish pasty against his head the whole time. So I could never have one. But I was quite jealous because they're really good.
Yeah,
he's still got it, actually. I might have to. He's the one who gave me the Amiga 1200, so maybe next birthday.
See if he's got it knocking around.
He's going to try and snaffle his N-Gage. Go on then, you can talk about the other thing you want to
say. Sega Rally's on that as well.
Elf night.
Oh no, I was like, no, I don't want to talk about it now.
No, that's
screw you. Instead. Fine. Do you know what? In this massively whirlwind one game each podcast, I'll come back to you for your second game in a minute, because evidently everybody else is gonna want one. Okay, fine. Last and least, L.
Oh. What?
Last and shortest.
Oh, okay.
Not the least.
What have you been playing?
So on the Switch, you have access to very many games. I'll choose one of my favourite ones. It's called Blasphemous. I finally completed it. Now, it's not often that I will stan like a side-scroller, like a Metroidvania kind of game. We all know how much I hate them. But by God, this game is great. You play as the penitent one. So you have this Cornetto... style helmet, right? The aesthetics is out of a metal video. This is amazing. You fight against these monstrosities that this miracle has made happen in the world. Everyone's so excited about it, and I don't get it. Everyone's having a bad time. And you fight your way through various bosses, wonderful, gorgeous places. Oh, I love the look of it. It's fantastic. It's a great time. Great fun. I will be playing through it again, because once you've completed it and you've, you know, given the boss man a good 1-2 and turned into a tree or some shit, you get the choice to replay all again, but you can choose, like, oh, what level of torture would you like to go through? Would you like to do the one hit and you die kind of play style? Uh-huh. Or would you like to do this? And I'm like, do you know what? For you, I will play again. It was honestly that fun. I loved it. I had the week off, so I was like, oh, you know, I'm gonna play a game. Chose Blasphemous because I just love the look of it.
I love the art style. That helmet looks like the nastiest Helter Skelter I've ever seen.
It's so good.
It looks like Pyramid Head's looking up.
Yes.
Yes. Pyramid Head is looking up. Have you seen the little, if you watch the trailer, you might find the one where he like holds the Cornetto helmet that he wears up to like this slash in a monster that he does, and he fills it with blood, and then he puts it on, and it cries blood. And I'm like, this is so metal,
yeah,
and I love it.
Like
so
your
much.
Games.
I mean, the whole thing does look like it could be painted on the side of a van.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, take my money. Shut up and take my money.
Jesus Christ, what ice cream vans do you have in your head?
It's the Cornetto. This
is the Cornetto.
The upside down one that's bleeding.
It's the one you don't go near.
No.
Yeah, he does other
don't
stuff
go
in that,
near that ice cream man kid.
It's so good. It's so much fun.
Right, Wikipedia describes it as a Metroidvania / Souls-like. So.
Yeah, see, flat Souls-like, not for me.
People say, ooh, Souls-like. I hate that.
Like, just any hard
there's,
game.
There's other games that exist. Fucking hell. It's
well,
not
I'm
that...
going to call it Souls-like, hell, and you're not going to stop me.
Fight me.
no, because I'll lose, and then I'll have to fight my way all the way back to the other fucking monsters that I had to fight to get to you.
It's like I get it, because you have the thing where you die and you leave a little bit of experience behind, and you can go and you can pick up the stuff that you've left behind. It's not that bad. You can go to these like praying statues and like pay to get that removed, so you don't even have to worry about it. There's loads of optional bits and pieces. There's loads of like sneaky hidden away things. They've done some DLC, and there's a sexy lady who shows her thighs, and she's got tattoos. Like, I was sold. I mean.
The problem, right? So I have a problem with side-scrolling games because
me too.
You should be shit.
And there's so many.
What does this do that makes it not shit?
I hate side-scrolling games. And even I found this enjoyable. I bought it because it looked cool.
Okay.
It does look cool. The graphics are great. The Ost is amazing. I love the Ost. The boss monsters, they're all really well designed. It's not copy and paste. Like, that's the thing that I hate about some side scrolls. You're like, oh, yes, you're in the orange zone. And then you advance to the purple zone. And it's all the same monsters, but they've got a different colour.
Talk about Sonic.
Does this... Sorry, okay. One of the problems that I have with the majority of side-scrolling games is that I think there seems to be this impression that if you're going to make a side-scrolling game, it has to have a gimmick. So almost every side-scrolling game that I've gone to play in the last God knows how long has got some kind of unique, special mechanic that makes it a special thing that actually, once you get used to it, the mechanic kind of wears itself out. Does that have this, or is it just a solid side-scrolling slashing game?
No, it's just solid. So you've got...
See, that's fine.
You've got a jump, you've got a slash, you've got a block, you've got a charge. That's practically about... Oh, and the... You know, when you block something, and it's like a parry. I mean, that's basically it. I didn't really use it that much, if I'm going to be honest. You've got like different bits and pieces that you have in the menu. So you've got a rosary that you can equip beads to. Very easy, very self-explanatory. You've got an artifacts thing where you can choose artifacts. So there's a really, really good one where it's like, if you equip it, you won't die if you fall like off a ledge or a platform. Brilliant for me, because that's like my number one cause of death, falling off of platforms. And then there's your Mea Culpa sword thing. You can upgrade that with souls and have like different button mashy doodads, but I didn't really bother with that. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm watching a video while you're talking, and at one point in the video, he starts slashing somebody and then gives up, grabs them by the face and repeatedly stabs them in each eyeball.
Oh no, that's an insta-kill. So there'll be like a little button.
Yeah, no shit.
And then another bit,
yeah.
He's walking along and a great big demon baby in the background picks him up by both arms and pulls him in half.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That can happen.
Yeah.
I might be into this. Is
it? Oh, there's a boss monster, Rich, that's like this baby in the background that cries whilst this giant centipede comes at you with a human face.
And I'm out again.
Amazing.
I'm out again. Right. Never going to play that ever again. That's Nightmare Fuel. Pixelated Nightmare Fuel. Right. It's Team 17 as well. Jeez, that's that is a distance away from the cartoony fart that that Team 17 normally shits out.
It's very good. It was kickstarted originally. They didn't get me. I've sworn off the Kickstarters now. I promise. Mm. No more.
I can quit whenever I like.
But it is so... It's honestly very good.
Okay. I'm into this.
I'm trying to decide if I am. I'm not going to lie. If we ever
all meet up again, I will bring my Switch and you can have a play.
It looks like something that would actually play really nicely on an arcade machine, bizarrely.
It's a Steam version.
I used to do this. I was horrible for this. But I feel like now that we've come back in a more honest format, I can do this other thing. We used to, like, we'd listen to games, not just Elle's games, but she tends to be a little bit more on the batshit end of the spectrum. But we'd, like, listen to people talking about games and go, yeah, great, mm-hmm, I'll have to check that out. But now I feel comfortable enough around all of you guys.
Yeah, you can say,
and the fact that there's only about 5 people listening to us to say, yeah, mm-hmm, okay, never going to play that. I am never going to play that.
It's not for everyone. Not everyone can. But
that's cool. That's fine.
Yeah.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than 1 billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Not every game is for everyone. I do like the look of it. I do like the aesthetic, and I do think some of it looks pretty cool.
It's beautiful.
But the idea of me actually dropping money on it is something that's probably not going to happen.
I was like, here, take my wallet.
Take my money. I say that, but I spent a ridiculous amount of money on games recently.
Ooh.
Okay.
How much was it?
I have no clue. She pirated it. I was like, buy on the Nintendo store.
£20 on Steam.
So. On the Switch, they're so expensive. Don't look.
Jesus. I was out before, but now I'd already gotten out the car, but I'm in a different county now.
I think I'd pick that up in a sale.
I'd pick it up for a fiver. If it was a fiver, I'd pick it up. That's not necessarily because the game looks like it's only worth a fiver. That's because my interest in it is only worth a fiver.
I played it for 33 hours on my first playthrough.
33 hours for a side-scroller.
That's good value.
Rich, okay. The best thing is, got a demo.
Oh, is it?
No. Oh, do they?
Mm. And I'm back in. I have tentatively got back in the car.
And some of the names of these things that are inside the game... Fucking amazing. Absolutely amazing.
$24.99 on Switch. I don't know what that is in pounds. But
how many?
$24.99.
Oh, bargain.
Well, it's probably £25 on.
Yeah.
Compared to a lot of Switch games.
33 like hours.
Your firstborn.
Hmm.
It's well good.
Yeah.
Right, installing.
Oh, don't worry about your bandwidth.
I am not worried about my bandwidth. I'm definitely no longer worried about my bandwidth. And it's finished downloading. What? Right.
That was my first game.
that was Elle's first game. Okay, fine. Can I talk about another game then that I've played?
Yeah, fuck it. Let's do two.
Go on, let's do two. Go on, cheeky two. Oh, fine. Okay, so I stopped playing Rust. Just to get that.
Oh my God.
I'm no longer that guy. I may go back to being that guy at some point. I had a fantastic time on Rust. I really enjoyed it. But it wears out its welcome after all. Not in a bad way.
I watched someone stream it in your Discord the other day, and I had no idea what the fuck was going on. It was so dark, I couldn't see anything.
If you were watching it in our Discord the other day, you were watching Ark.
Is that not the same game?
Which
it's pretty much. Just more dinosaurs.
Did it have dinosaurs in it?
Yeah, I thought it was too dark. I couldn't tell.
Did you Did it sound like in the darkness there might be some dinosaurs somewhere?
It looked like Minecraft if it wasn't blocky. It was more polygonic. All right, okay. Is it not the same game? Not the same thing?
No. That's definitely not the same game.
Right, okay.
Ark is like Rust, only
right.
It's a bit shitter, in my opinion, and it's got 100% more dinosaurs. Mathematically, because Rust has no dinosaurs at all. It's a kind of similar thing because they're both survival games. They've got pretty different mechanics, and the way that they work is fairly significantly different. They've both got their own things. But anyway,
You're done with both anyway.
Craig's been playing that. I finished playing Rust, done playing Rust, had a really good time. They brought out new updates. It was already enjoyable, but it gets a bit repetitive after a while, so I decided I needed to play something different. So I looked around to try and find a game that I wanted to play and decided that I fancied playing something a little bit open-worldy, RPG-y, adventure-y. So...
Come back to Minecraft, didn't you?
No, I haven't gone back to Minecraft. Do you know, there is a surprising amount of people who are trying to tempt me back into Minecraft at the minute. Every week, because we're in one of these phases where we're looking for new games to play.
Yeah.
And every week somebody goes, should we play Minecraft? I'm like, No. I beat Minecraft.
Yeah,
I completed Minecraft. I don't need to play it anymore. No, the game that I got two, and I might talk about the other one at some point, but I'm going to leave it for now. I got The Outer Worlds.
Oh.
Okay.
So, decided I wanted to play something a little bit RPG, got Fallout-esque, and the trailer looks really cool, and it looks very exciting, and looks like it's got great comedy in it, and it's kind of Fallout-y, but they make a very big point of saying it is made by the original creators of Fallout, not this recent riffraff that did that 76 nonsense, the original creators of Fallout, and the people who made Fallout New Vegas. And immediately I'm just like, well, okay, I love the original Fallout games, and I love Fallout New Vegas, so you're ticking all the right boxes.
You know, on Google, when you type something and it says people also ask,
right,
is Outer Worlds like Fallout? Is Outer Worlds a Fallout ripoff? Is Outer Worlds as good a game as New Vegas?
Cool. I can answer all of those questions, actually. So what was the first question?
Is it like Fallout?
Yes. Next one.
Is it a Fallout ripoff?
Probably. Next.
Is it as good as New Vegas?
No.
Oh, no.
Okay. It is very good. I can't say it's as good as New Vegas because New Vegas was an experience, and it was an experience of its time at the moment that I played it. And there are certain games that are like that. And no matter what happens, unless you go back to that game, which you should never do, if you have a game that's like that, that impacted your life in such a great and positive way,
yeah,
don't go back to it.
Don't spoil
years.
It.
Don't don't do it.
Pretty much all I do now.
No, but that's not...
It's literally Lee's IP.
Story-based games, adventure-based games, long-format games, all of that kind of stuff, it's just not a good idea. I've ruined the memory of so many games going back to them in that way, and it's not a good plan. So I have that memory of Fallout New Vegas ingrained in my brain, and I will always compare it to every single game through the rose-tinted glasses that I perpetually wear. I started playing Outer Worlds, and it's one of these games is so bizarre. We kept going to go back to it, and every time we went to go and have a session, because as I've said before, I'm playing these single-player games, live-streaming on Discord, and my mates are all watching, we're all kind of making the decisions together. And this is a perfect game for that, because there's loads of different dialogue decisions, and you can pick and choose your path, and some of them are so funny and brilliant, and depending on the skills that you've picked, you get different dialogue options and different trees and paths to go down and all this kind of stuff. Good fun. So we're playing all of this together. It works really nicely. The problem is, every single time we go to do a session, are we going to play Outer Worlds tonight? My immediate reaction was, oh. Yeah, I suppose so. And then an hour into doing it, somebody goes, oh, okay, it's getting a bit late now. I'm going to have to go to bed. No. I'm into this now. I am into this now. So then all of a sudden we've done a 4.5 hour session and everybody's absolutely knackered. But then the next time we go back to play it, my immediate reaction is, it does a fantastic job while you're playing it of drawing you in and sucking you in. But it is not so bombastic that when you're not playing it, you know those games where you think
about it.
I can't wait to get back home to play that. I can't wait to get home and do this on this game.
Yeah.
It's like that, and it's very bizarre, because when I'm playing it, I have a great time, and it's really enjoyable. When I'm not playing it, I forget about it. It has made no impact whatsoever, really, long term in my brain. But when I am playing it, I think this is really nice. One of the biggest problems I have is we started the game, and as I tend to do nowadays, I put it on hard. So it was a bit too hard at the beginning, but we struggled through it. I had to switch it down to normal for one particular encounter, and then we put it back up to hard again. Now, it was kind of challenging, and then we did this random thing, and in the middle of freaking nowhere, we found this gun called the Old Faithful. And it was far and away, like, a metric fuckton better than what I was carrying. Like, not even close. So I put this thing on. Even though I was trying to specialise in pistols, this massive heavy machine gun, which uses light ammo for reasons that only the developers understand, was, like, ridiculously better. All of a sudden, even on hard, I am absolutely eviscerating everything in front of me. And because I'm eviscerating everything in front of me, I have now got so much money. So all I've done is just pumped all of my skill points into carry weight, right? So I am now essentially a Tesco's van with a cannon, right? So I am just driving around this wasteland, absolutely obliterating everything, picking up. And because I'm so, because I could kill everything, there was this place and it basically said, don't go here, you will die, murder dead. And I'm like, but there's a flight point to it. So it couldn't be instant murder dead, surely. So let's go there. Sounds like a great idea. Let's go there. So we went there, and the place was crawling with these great big bad guys that you've clearly not meant to be able to kill at this point in the game. And I'm killing them. And I've only killed like a handful of them. And these motherfuckers are dropping shit that I should not be getting at this point in the game. So immediately then, I double the power of the gun that was already twice as powerful as it needed to be by getting an even bigger gun that was even more powerful and even more ridiculous. And then I take it to this tooling station and then I double its power again by upgrading it. So now I'm essentially this like level 7 dweeb carrying around...
Wink.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Carrying around a ranged Mjolnir and just beasting everything in sight. It's made the combat kind of cool, but there's absolutely zero fear. There is no fear whatsoever that anything could go wrong. Because I've got no fear, I'm not using the companion abilities because there's just no need, and some of them are really cool. Mm-hmm. And it's fun because you get to just run balls into stupid fights that you would never run balls into like that. You'd use way more tactics. And I'm just legging it in. And there's a slow-mo mechanic. I didn't mention a slow-mo mechanic. I don't fucking use it. I'm just mowing in. They have missed the balance.
This sounds like you've got bored and turned on cheat mode and...
Yeah.
It feels like that.
Just plow through the rest of the game.
But that lets me get to the dialogue options and the other bits and bobs of the game, which are really good. And there's loads of other things about the game that are really, there's nothing wrong with it, right? Apart from clearly the balance is off. There's nothing wrong with the game. It's like, it's great and it's fun and it's wacky and it's stupid. The problems are the great fun, wacky, stupid parts that you will see in the trailer where you've got these science weapons and the science weapons are, you've got a shrink ray and you've got a hammer that turns people's faces inside out and you've got something that puts people's arms on their legs and all that. You never fucking use them. They're shit. They're funny for a minute. And then you're like, well, I'm never going to use that again. Here's this enormous fucking gun that is way bigger than I should be using. I'm now going to use this. Great. I launched the thing on the floor. It made somebody fly through the air and scream as they were going past me. Brilliant. That was funny. And I'm done. I don't want to do it anymore. I'm done. So, do you know what? Play it. If you get it in a bargain bin, give it a go. If you love the Fallout games, give it a go. I haven't finished it yet. That's a key thing.
Isn't it Game Pass?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Somebody only told me that after I bought it.
I played it. It was straight to Game Pass as well. I played it on release.
Yeah. I got it on one of the CD key style sites, so it wasn't terribly expensive. I put 24 hours into this thing now.
You got your money's worth.
I've got my money's worth. Hmm. I'm more than happy with that. But it's got some problems. That if you're willing to ignore those problems or not take horrible advantage of those problems, as I did, then you will probably have a great time with the game. The dialogue options are really funny. It's extraordinarily reminiscent of Fallout. I only found out 20 hours in that you could steal from people. So, by the way, you can steal from people. The companions are really good and actually very engaging, and there are certain companions that you want to keep with you all the time because you like them, and certain companions that you will leave on the ship the majority of the time because you just don't fucking like them at all. Not because, and there are a couple of companions like carbon copies of each other, which is a little bit boring. But the good ones that have got good backstory are very good. And there's cool, like, because I haven't come across a relationship option with the main character yet, but there's cool relationship options with the side characters, which is really nice, and unexpected relationship options with the side characters as well. And that's quite nice, and it's well written. And then you'll have other parts of the game that are totally not well written at all. So it's clearly a couple of different people working on this. But no, it's good, fun, reminiscent of Fallout games, different twist. Got these wacky little things in it, and if you enjoy those wacky little things, that'll add a dimension to it that weren't in the majority of the Fallout games, and not to the degree that they have it in this. But don't expect jumping puzzles, because you can't fucking jump in this game. It's really frustrating.
No jump at all.
There you go. Oh, you can jump, just don't expect to get anywhere with it. It's one of these games where you walk up to a cliff that's about a foot high and go, I can jump up that, and then you just jump at it and slide down.
Oh no.
That is pretty
no
annoying.
Wall hacking.
And it's got a dodge mechanic in it. I don't use that either.
Just a big gun.
It's like they've added a load of mechanics. It's like, oh, we need an answer to VATS. We need something similar to VATS.
Yeah,
you put the slowdown to utterly pointless. Completely pointless mechanic. Don't fucking bother with it. I'm sure if you level it all the way up, it's probably pretty cool, but just I don't use it at all, ever. So there you go. That's Outer Worlds.
Not purchasing it.
No, but if it's on, do you know, it's good. I'm misrepresenting it probably a little bit more than I should be. But I've got to be honest, I've got to be fair in the appraisal. The Fallout games weren't perfect. If I was talking now about Fallout 3, I would not be singing its praises so strongly. I would probably be evaluating it very similarly to the way I am doing it right now. Yet at the end of Fallout 3, people generally regarded it as a masterpiece. This is never going to be that, because Fallout 3 exists. But it's trying to come close and do something a bit different. And it succeeds in that. And for people who are in more of a mindset to play this game than I was, because I'm in one of those brain spaces right now where I don't know what to play. Do you know you're looking at every single, you're like, I don't know if I'm up for that. Oh, I don't know if that's the kind of game I want right now, because there is no game that I want right now. I have zero idea what I want to play at all. So I'm just buying random fucking games and giving them a go. And while I'm enjoying them for what they are, because I wasn't in the right zone of mind for them, I'm probably not experiencing them as fondly as I would have done otherwise. So there you go. Anyway, that's game. I've spoken too much. Too many me. Somebody else.
I've been playing Warzone, Call of Duty Warzone.
Cool. Somebody else.
Well, I've been trying to play Call of Duty Warzone. They released their big update this week, and the plan was to nuke the map so you get a new map. They nuked the fucking servers at the same time. It didn't work. No, they had queues on the loading screens for up to an hour to get into the game lobbies. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it seems to have been fixed now. So we played last night, the four of us that we play, and it seems to be working. And you've gone back to the map, which is now in 1984, so things look lovely and it's all very cool and stuff. I've not seen it yet, but you never know. it's a fun game to play, the battle royale style, obviously. And they had a big fuck up with this event, because the plan was to nuke the map and then introduce zombies on the map and all this stuff, but it just didn't work. They just ruined the experience for like 3 or 4 days. And when you're
in play, because so many people came back to the game because they were excited about the update and they weren't expecting that volume of people to come back.
I should do, but I'd imagine so. But there's 100 million players in this game. It's one of the most played games in the world, and they should have been ready for this. This is Raven Software, but it's essentially EA, isn't it? It's Call of Duty. They've got Activision. Sorry,
something.
Yeah,
just imagine someone coming to the Hoover and just
tripped over a cable.
Yeah, plug that Hoover in there instead.
It's amazing the bugs that come out of what could have otherwise seemed like bomb-proof code as soon as you add 100,000 people on top of it.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
But yeah, they broke it for a week, and it's back now and it's working well. And they gave a free weekend of the Call of Duty Cold War game for people that were trying to play. So that was all right. But yeah, it's good fun.
I think I'm far more forgiving of this kind of thing nowadays for two reasons. Firstly, I'm not one of those mugs that will attempt to play the game during the opening window. because I've been burnt far too many times to even attempt that anymore. And secondly, it's just a normal thing, right? People get things wrong. Mistakes were made. It's frustrating if you spent the money and you bought the game, or if it's on a free weekend and therefore you don't get to play.
Yeah, no, but nobody minded when Cyberpunk 2077 come out.
Well, we didn't, because we didn't buy it, because we weren't foolhardy enough to think, okay, sorry, Ross was foolhardy enough. We collectively weren't foolhardy enough to buy a game that was a brand new IP from a company notorious for overrunning on its development cycles that was brought out too early on consoles that clearly couldn't run it.
I could play it now. I've got my new console. I can play it.
No,
I
don't own the game.
We got a refund for it. Yeah, I could buy it again and try and play it again.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, I don't know. What was it like then?
It's the same map, but it's been kind of touched up and they've redone some places and removed a few bits, put a few new bits in. It's good. It's kind of good relearning the map, and it's always fun. Like, I play with my brother-in-law and two of his mates, and we play like two nights a week, and it's just good fun to play games with friends. It's always fun to play games with friends. And Call of Duty 2 on the Xbox 360 was the first one that I played multiplayer and made a lot of good friends on Xbox with, and it's kind of gone downhill over the years, and it's kind of, it feels good to be playing with friends again. It's nice.
It's a solid game. This is the other thing. I went through a phase of going through a lot of battle royales because I really enjoy them, and I think it's a really solid game. And also one thing that I mean, I never found a massive problem with this, but I didn't play it for an exhaustive amount of time. I never felt like I was being match made, but with huge amounts of people that are simply so much better than me that there was never any hope of me even competing with them. Now, don't get me wrong. I did just drop dead because somebody sniped me from a different postcode every now and then. Yeah. But it wasn't as bad as it was in PUBG, as an example.
Yeah, they seem to have, with the new update, nerfed some of the cheaters as well, because it was getting ridiculous that every game you'd play you'd be getting followed through a wall basically, and they'd just see where you were and shot as soon as you appeared, or instantly snapping onto your heads to kill you immediately. They seem to have fixed a little bit of that.
Console as well as PC,
yeah, because it's multiplayer and you can't turn it off.
It's crossplay.
Yeah, you can't turn it off. You have to play crossplay, and you can tell when you get killed by someone
else in their exactly. life.
You can tell when you get killed by a PC player.
Yeah.
Because of the control of the gun.
It's not right. And unfortunately, this is one of the... I have always been a massive advocate for crossplay in all games. And I know a lot of console players have been completely against it. And I understand why. In FPSs, there is an advantage to be had with the mouse and keyboard. Usually, That's not to say that people who are pro players or even just good players with a pad are not going to absolutely rinse me, despite the fact that I'm using a mouse and keyboard. There is still a skill level needed to back up the control set. But the ceiling for a mouse and keyboard by default is higher than the ceiling for a pad until you get really good with it. The biggest problem with this entire idea is cheating. Yeah. Cheating is horrific on PC. It's just not like that on console.
Set up a hotkey and that's it, they're on.
In Warzone as well, there was that event a while ago where one of the characters, one of the actresses that plays one of the characters in Call of Duty was streaming, and she was streaming, sub-streaming other people's streams. Yeah. So she went into a stream with these people that were playing Warzone and caught two of them hacking. And then these people who were pretty big streamers went off at her, like, completely chewed her out. Who the hell are you? What do you know? And all this kind of stuff.
I mean,
like, one of the characters in the game.
It's just, that is just the whole thing about the female experience of most nerd entities. Yeah.
One of them was
who
a girl.
Who are you?
Well,
I don't know. I've just been in the game.
One of these streamers was a girl. It was a boyfriend and girlfriend.
Oh, look, I'm just saying. Streaming. COD, along with a few other choice, you know, good golden nuggets of games, do not have a good female-friendly environment.
No, not at all.
They're the kind of game where my temper is just like, oh, I will find you. I will burn your house to the ground. So I just don't play those games. No,
this is why I always party up with my friends and we have our own chats, and that's it.
That is largely why I stopped playing on Xbox, I've got to be honest.
Yeah.
Because the experience on Xbox Live at the time, I don't know what it's like now, was very toxic.
It's unnecessary. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm too old for this.
Yeah. Too old, can't be bothered. I've got a certain amount of time to play games and I do not want my experience ruined by you cunts.
Petrol's expensive.
Look, this is crossplay, so just to ruin your experience even further, if you've ever got a slot open, I think I've still got this game installed.
Well, you might make us win. Like, we won the game the other day, and it's completely by fluke, basically. But, yeah.
That's the only way you're going to win if I'm in the team. How many people can you have in the team now? Are they increasing?
4 quads you can have now.
Quads, okay, cool. All right, I'm in. I'm going to give this a go. Lee.
Your second game.
Have you been playing anything that was released after the year 2000?
Oh, I don't know when it was released, actually. I think it was. It's a Zelda game.
Ooh.
Hey.
But I didn't get...
Right, you're getting 3 strikes. That's not a strike, but that, so that's okay. Okay. Zelda game, go.
It's on the Wii.
Strike.
The Wii was a good console.
They're all on the Wii.
The Zelda game on the Wii?
Yeah. It's Skyward Sword.
Yeah, that's strike, after 2000.
What?
Yep. It's after 2000.
For that. Yeah, but that's not the point. It's Skyward Sword.
What's wrong with Skyward Sword?
It's not good.
Yeah, I have to agree. I didn't like it.
Is that the end of Lee's segment?
Well, because I set the Wii up and I installed a few games and I was having a good time playing some GameCube games on it, that sort of thing. And I thought to myself, I want to recapture the feeling of playing... my 2 favourite Zelda games are Link's Awakening and Wind Waker. And I wanted to go back to Wind Waker, but I knew that I'd played that, you know, to death, and I didn't really want to ruin that memory. So I thought I'll go back and play, you know, what the Wii's best Zelda was. And so I Googled it, and apparently it's Skyward Sword. I don't know if that's...
What?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. That's the general consensus.
Twilight Princess.
I was going to play Twilight Princess, so I thought I'll Google this and find out which one, and apparently it's Skyward Sword.
Was I playing a different game to everybody else? What?
I don't know. There's a lot of waggling going on.
Not like Steph.
So I gave it a go, and I gave it probably 4 hours of gameplay. And I did what I did with Breath of the Wild, which I didn't get off with for the same reason, where I just ended up wandering around, just poking around in places and not really being too worried about going back to the storyline, because there was just that open world part of it that just distracts me. It doesn't add to the game for me. They kind of were starting to do that with Wind Waker, giving you a bit of open world, going around in your boat and that sort of thing. But there was enough guidance there to actually channel you into the story occasionally to push you along the narrative a little bit further each time. But this is like, yeah, you can just go and sit in a shop, you know, and you can go and buy some soup.
this one was made exclusively for the Wii, right? Did it come out on anything else? Did it come out on the Wii U eventually?
I think it did, actually, yes.
Because
and I know it's coming out on the Switch soon.
Twilight Princess, somebody's going to ring me for this. Twilight Princess from memory, because I had Twilight Princess on the GameCube. And then I re-bought Twilight Princess on the Wii, because I loved it. But it was a game that wasn't designed exclusively for the Wii controllers. It was designed for a normal controller, but you could also play it with the Wii controllers. Whereas Skyward Sword was designed exclusively and specifically for the Wii controllers, and I felt that really hurt it.
Yep, that was my other big problem with it, because I started with the motion controls. It wasn't too bad to start with the sword action. You could really kind of guide the sword to where you wanted to. There's certain enemies that you have to hit in a certain direction to kill them, and most of the time that worked, but it didn't work enough of the time to make me feel that this was a better way of doing it than just with a controller. It was a hit and a miss for me.
If it's frustrating, it's not an improvement.
Yeah.
The Wii controllers were shit, weren't they? Can we just say it now? They were fucking...
Yeah, they were.
Certain implementations, they worked really well.
But, you know, the Wii walked so that we could have Beat Saber today.
Well, yeah, true. As soon as I realised you could do it sitting down, just doing that. With the controller.
So Wii Sports. You could do that with Wii Sports, but I've got to take issue with that, because if you tried to do that with the Motion Control Plus, was it? The advanced one with the plug-in bit, and you tried to do that with that on Wii Sports Resort in bowling, it wouldn't work.
I never spent any more money after the first week.
It knows you're a lazy bastard.
Yeah.
That attachment was a lazy detector.
Yeah.
In fact, most of the attachments that they released after that were a lazy detector, because it was that knew if you were being lazy with your arms. There was a pad that knew if you were being lazy generally. There was a bike that definitely knew if you were being lazy. There was that is all Nintendo wants to know. How lazy are you?
How lazy are you?
I will say the one game that worked excessively well with the motion, in fact, too well with the Wii motion controllers, was Resident Evil 4.
Okay. Yeah, I did enjoy that.
Silent Hill Shattered Memories was really good.
I never played that.
I love it.
I did not play that. Resident Evil 4 is now getting a VR release.
Oh my God.
By the way.
Are you putting a flossing tool at yourself?
Yeah, I am. Sorry. I've got dental harp.
A dental harp. Let's not. I don't think we need to go too far into that, do we?
No.
Don't play the dental harp, hell. Okay, so we've gone back to. I'll give you points for that, because that one was at least on a console that most people listening to this are going to remember.
Thanks.
If not fondly.
Yeah.
Okay, L.
Okay, so we don't have enough time for me to be excited about the 9-foot-tall lady cakes that is about to, you know, proceed vastly into our peripheries in the form of a goth giant S.
I think we do if you've played it.
I haven't played it. I'm waiting for it to come out. I'm so excited, but I just want people to know I'm excited. Talking about weird games, let's talk about a weird game. We talked about 1984. Let's talk about Buddy Simulator 1984.
Everybody hits Google.
Yep.
It's amazing. So it's this really weird take on, like, hey, we've made an AI to be your buddy and it'll play games with you. Look at it, isn't it cool? And it starts out on this DOS screen and it asks you questions and you do this text adventure with it, and then it starts getting better. So you start playing games like rock, paper, scissors and all these kind of different things. And it goes, oh, we can do better than this. And it puts you into this adventure game. And it slowly progresses and advances and makes it more in depth. And the more better the game becomes, the more it breaks. And the seams start pulling away and you begin to see this fragile, horrific entity suffering from a bizarre combination of existential crises, loneliness, and trying to understand what friendship is. And it is both horrifying and amazing. I love it. And it wants you to kill the dog.
This looks like Doki Doki Literature Club for Lee.
Yeah. Yeah, people who like Undertale will also like it. Sorry, Lewis, I know you're not here. I will mention that it was not universally loved. Remaining strong for Lewis.
So this reminds me weirdly. Christ, what was the game called?
And this is in February 2021. Cracking Edge of Weird.
I actually kind of like the look of this. Is that weird?
It's good.
I kind of like the look of this.
You don't know for too long.
No, this is.
I have many weird.
Return of the Obra Dinn.
It's got feelings of Return of the Obra Dinn, or that game that makes that guy that makes those games. No, there was a game that I played recently-ish, which was all about puzzly things that was set in like Stranger Things era.
Yeah. The one that we were talking about, the one in the keyboard and you look
in the room with the keyboard and the screen and the thing.
Yes,
yeah,
it is like that.
Yeah.
But this does it. This goes one better. So, you know, the games that like make changes on your PC when you're playing the game.
Yeah.
So you can go around and you dig up secret things and it unearths like written text files within the game directory. Right. So you can like go out of the game and read through these text files and you basically go through this backstory of like this. I think it's like a father who's like developing the game to give to his son, and someone is ill. I think the dad is ill and he's like coming to terms with like him not being able to see his son anymore. And like the game will be the way that he can interact with his child after death. And I'm like, ah! Yeah.
Cool. I've just got it.
You've asked for weird games. So
you just bought that.
And you have delivered.
No, it's a demo.
Oh, it's a demo.
It's a demo. We're hitting all the demo games.
We can talk about it next month.
I weirdly really like the look of this, and I couldn't even tell you why I like the look of this.
I got you to get two demos, Rich.
Yeah.
Two.
You haven't got me to spend any money yet.
I know, but one day.
One day. I actually really like the look of this, and I don't know whether it's because Lee has been gradually force-feeding me retro stuff, and I still haven't yet decided whether it's a route I want to go down. But this feels like it's kind of not quite that, but close enough that I can say I played something that's meant to be retro but isn't.
Like the Grim Reaper, retro will take you all.
I don't think it will.
I'm worried.
God, he's like the guy from Event Horizon, isn't he? You're all with me. Right, okay. I actually like the look of that one, and I'm not saying that because I don't do that anymore. I'm not just blowing smoke up yet.
You can give your honest opinion and critique.
I actually kind of like the look of that. All right, okay. I'm going to play the demo, but to be fair, on Steam, the game is only £6.99.
Yeah. Under £15. Weird game. Done.
Weird game, under £15. Do you know what? I could make a mint off L.
Shit.
I could spin up a studio exclusively just called Weird Games Under £15. Okay, cool. I think, well, we've all had two games.
Yeah.
God, we're a bunch of renegades, aren't we?
Do what we want.
Do you know, I don't even think there's that much, like a true, because we've been talking about so much retro stuff, right, that we've only got a limited amount of tape to record this week's podcast.
Yeah.
I actually do.
Only so many flops.
Yeah, we've only got a limited quantity of flops. You know, if you could see me nowadays, you wouldn't believe. But we actually have a limited amount of tape. So I've been told that we have to keep this recording under a certain amount of time, which I think potentially could be a stealth lie. I don't know why it would be a stealth lie. That's just a lie, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'll outright tell you if we just want to.
Could be a regular lie. But I don't think we need to force the issue. I don't think we need to force things. We're not talking about news or any of that other bullshit anymore. We're just going to talk about the shit that we want to talk about and then go home. Yeah. So I reckon it's probably last orders, boys and girl. I think that's it. We're going to call it a night. Sorry, that slipped out, L.
It's all right.
Sorry about that.
She's one of the first boys. Time.
I point my harp at you.
The first time that's happened to me in a pub. Right. Okay, that's fine. I've got other stuff that I want to talk about as well, actually, but I'm going to refrain because otherwise then we're all going to have a third game and Lee's is probably going to be really old.
Got to have something in for next time.
Okay, yeah. Look, I'll make you a deal. How about this? If you play something newer than 2010 for the next episode, I will play something earlier than 2000.
Okay. Newer than 2000. I can do that.
We need photographic proof of this.
Hang on, photographic proof?
Yeah.
All right, fine. I'm going to give something. I don't know what it is yet.
I'll take a videogram of me playing it if you want.
Oh, okay. Here's the problem. Now, all of a sudden, he's going to be setting up his pinhole camera.
Limited flops.
Limited flops. He's only got a single pinhole. Okay.
You do realise that there are games still being released for the ZX Spectrum.
What? Not by normal people, though.
Yeah.
Not by actual sensible.
Yeah, it's after 2010.
Jesus. See, weirdly, that would be that game that El just showed us.
Yeah,
would kind of be perfect if somebody actually released that on one of those really old consoles.
Oh my god, that'd be terrifying.
That would be really good. Like if they sold it on a floppy disk as well.
Ooh.
Like I don't know where you'd get a floppy disk.
I'd get the proper creepypasta then.
But you'd also have to like buy a really old console to play it on, and I would imagine that's a very narrow market.
Yeah. That's niche.
That's a lot of effort for a small amount of income, really.
That is niche.
Yeah.
All right. So, for next time, Ross is going to have played more exclusive Xbox Series X games. I nearly said Xbox One X. This is the stupidest naming convention that they could possibly have come up with. I genuinely thought, after calling the Xbox One the Xbox One, that they could not have got any worse. But they topped it. Yeah. They did it. Well done.
Well, I've just downloaded a baseball game, which is an Xbox One X exclusive, so get ready for that next month.
Baseball game. For fuck's sake.
Does it use motion controllers?
Developed by Sony Studios on the Xbox. Imagine
the second most expensive console that's ever existed, and you download a baseball game.
I mean, it looks fantastic. It plays like baseball, but it looks fantastic.
Every American just switched off.
Elle's going to play more weird shit, Lee's going to play more old shit, and I'm going to play more shit that I don't actually want to play, but I've got nothing better to do in my life.
Well, if you two are swapping games, I mean, Elle should swap games, you should play some...
Elle should play some Xbox One X game.
No, I'll play some weird games.
No, play sports ball game.
Elle has got to play some sports ball games. And Ross has got to play...
I'll find the weirdest thing on Game Pass.
Elle has got to pick a creepypasta game for Ross to play. I think we might have some video content here. I think we might have some kind of video content with me playing a really old game. I feel like Lee's got the easy end of the deal here, though, because I've got to play a retro game and he's got everything after 2010. That doesn't
You
seem
laid down
fair.
The rules. I can't change them now.
Well, I didn't realise that they were going to become serious rules at the time that I said them.
Has your son got FIFA 21, Lee? You can play that. That'd be fun.
What, me?
Yeah.
What, me playing that? Oh, no, anyway. I've got it. Lee's got to play Rust.
Rust?
No, Lee's got to actually play Rust, Rust for an amount of time. You played Rust?
I played it with you.
Did you?
Yeah.
I remember that. Shit, I'll have to find something else then. All right, never mind. Look,
this is for off-air.
Jeez. God, I feel like this should all be an off-air conversation. Right, look, we're gonna call it a day and a week and possibly even a month. And hopefully next time we're going to be back and Lewis is going to be here, but we might have to have somebody else not here. It might be me. I might have a holiday, like I said at the beginning. But we'll all have played different things, probably not any of the things that we've just discussed because it was a terrible idea and it was done in the heat at the moment and I now slightly regret it. So thank you very much for listening and staying with us despite all of the rubbish that I've been speaking, definitely despite all of the rubbish that Lee's been speaking and all of the great things that Ross and Elle have been talking about. We'll be back very soon. We keep promising we're doing this and we're actually doing it now, so you can fucking take that to the bank.
Yep.
This is definitely happening. We'll be back in a few weeks' time, whenever the fuck we decide to do it, with another episode. Thank you very much for listening. It's been Ready Player 2, episode 95, that nobody needed to remind me about. I have been Rich. You can find me on Twitter at Zebwen, that's Zebwen. You can find all of us on Twitter at ReadyP2. You can find Elle at...
Escaping IRL.
Oh, God, that was very quick. You can find Lee at...
ZZ.
And you can find Ross at...
Ross Bell at 1984.
And the tapes run out. Goodbye.
Bye.
Oh my God, we have 10 seconds left.